Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the fourth show of Got Relationships and Business. Thank you all so much. I'm your host, Sherry Kane, and we are going into our fourth week with a very special guest on our topic of From Brokenness to Healed. For anybody who wants to log in online or if they have questions at the end of the show, you can log on at www.blogtalkradio.com/G R as in Robert, B as in boy, with the word with is spelled out, W-I-T-H, Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, and you can do interactive chat with us or you can ask questions at the end of the call. But welcome to the show, our fourth week, as I said earlier. And today we have a very special guest. She is a friend of mine. She is one of my prayer warriors and prayer partners and sisters in Christ. And she is someone that I have seen gone through a space of brokenness, and I've witnessed her getting her power back on a consistent basis, and it's beautiful to see. So I would like to welcome Ms. A.Z. Hudson to God Relationships and Business. A.Z. has a platform on Facebook by the name of An Anchored Heart for anyone who wishes to follow her. And A.Z., welcome. I think I lost her. Hold on 1 minute, guys. Thank you, everybody, for that brief hold. I'm sorry we lost A.Z., so I had to reach back out and get her on the line again. My apologies. But I was introducing you, A.Z., when we lost the call, I was introducing you, A.Z., to the audience and, you know, just telling them that we've known each other for a while and that I've seen you in a space of brokenness and I've personally witnessed you getting your power back consistently. So I was welcoming you to the call and then I realized that you were not on the call. So welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, those things happen. Thanks again, guys, for holding me, being patient. But our topic, again, for the fourth week is From Brokenness to Healed. We have spoke with three wonderful ladies. They've all shared their stories with us, told us how they've overcome a place of brokenness. And today we have A.Z. She is one of my prayer partners, one of my prayer warriors, a woman of God. And like I said, I've just seen her, you know, go from brokenness and move back into a place of power. So, A.Z., welcome again. And if you would please share with the audience a little about you, a little about your journey, and your path from brokenness to healing.
Okay. It is definitely a pleasure, I should say, to be here. The women before me have been awesome. So to even follow behind them, I'm just like, I hope that I can even meet that. But
girl, I'm meeting up here. It'll all.
But my place of brokenness began when I lost what love was. My place of brokenness was in a place where I defined love as something that was painful, it was hurtful. And this is in part due to an ending of a relationship. It had been over 15 years, and I lost sight of myself in that. And in that, I also lost sight of love even from God. So my place of brokenness was a complete separation from not only myself but from God, and trying to then handle it myself. So I lost that. God, you, this is going on, this is happening. Where are you? So I didn't believe that He even was love for me at that time. So I in that time period, began to just do whatever I felt I was basically grown enough to do. And really what I was doing was putting more pain and more brokenness, I guess, accumulating more brokenness on top of what I've already been through, to a level that I felt lost. And in that place of being lost, you don't think right. You completely are consumed by what is happening to you that you still don't see anything else. But God took me to a place where he waited on me. It was like,
yes, he did.
He sat right there. And it's so funny because I remember even in those moments where I felt like it is not worth it, this is ridiculous, God, yes, I went to church, yes, I paid my tithe, yes, I was good here, I was good there, but it was like, are you serious? And it was like in my rebellion, because that's what I call it rebellion.
It was.
He waited on me. And he was still trying to speak to me in some of those moments. And sometimes I knew it was him, but being the disobedient child, I don't want to listen to you. You weren't there when I was calling you, so leave me alone.
And you know what? I think that a lot of times that when we're going through really tough seasons, we feel like God's not there.
Yes, very much.
Because we feel like God's not there, we go out and we're in the world.
Yeah.
And we're doing things of the world and trying to figure out why it's still not working right. And it's because we've removed him from the place that he's been in. So that's real good. Thank you.
Well, a big part of that, too, is because what you've lost, you're replacing it with worldly things.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's people, whether it's being in places you know you shouldn't be, whether it's drinking, whether it's, you know, individuals have different addictions. So you're filling that void of what you lost or what is missing or what hurt you. You're trying to fill that basically with a Band-Aid, if you want, but it's a worldly Band-Aid.
Yes.
And but God doesn't want a Band-Aid. He wants to surgically repair you. And that's what he did to me. And when I say he surgically repaired me, I felt like I didn't even have anesthesia.
And you guys, think about surgery. Think about laying on a table and someone is saying, and she just said she felt like she did not have anesthesia. So you're laying on a table wide awake while someone is taking a very sharp, what is that tool called? I can't think of what it's called right now, but basically the
knife. Some sort of knife, but yeah, I know. Scalpel, I think. I'm not sure.
In order to heal you.
Yes. But that's how God does. I remember when I finally reached my point, and even being in the world, filling myself with unnecessary people and unnecessary things, I remember the day I walked in my house. And I hit the floor, literally. I wasn't, like, on my knees. I laid on my floor and cried tears that I didn't even know I could cry anymore. It was that real ugly cry. But, like, I cried, and I was like, God, I give up. And I remember just saying, what am I supposed to do to make this feeling stop? Because I finally got to a place where I saw what I was doing wasn't making me feel any better. It was actually pushing me back.
Yes.
So during that time, I remember the first step for me was I was reading my Bible. And it was even when I didn't want to, I would read my Bible. There were times where it would be one line. There were times where it would be a whole chapter, and I couldn't tell you anything from the chapter I read. But I was consistent with reading my Bible. And there were days where I got a message, days where I didn't. But the consistency of staying in the Word and letting the Word try to fill me. And if the Word filled me, it became more and more relevant where, like, my eyes kind of could see, you can't stay in that. You got to let that go too. Or you got to back up off of that. So as I put more of the Word in me, even in those moments where I still didn't want to. I was still hurting. I still had questions. The more of God's word that was put in me, I saw that I was also pushing back from some of the world.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible, when we open the Bible, I think my grandma used to say this, God rest her soul, but she used to say that if you open the Bible and you're going through something, even if you're not going through something, I promise you exactly where you open the Bible at is exactly what God wants you to know right there in that moment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that's so funny because even when it was, you know, the question of this call, because, I mean, I didn't feel like I was, I felt like I'm, because I'm still in my process of healing. I am completely not where I have been, but I am still on my journey. And in my journey, I'm realizing that God will allow certain things to come to you at a time. And when the call came up, the first questions for me were like, God, I'm not a public speaker. And one, I'm not trying to be a public speaker. So, and it was weird because I sat down one day and my Bible, I opened my Bible and I went to Numbers chapter 22 through 24. And in Numbers 22 through 24 was when Balaam was telling them the only thing he could say is the word of God. He would only say what God would have him say. When they wanted him to curse, he was like, nope, I can only say what God wants. And it was like, for me, you're going to say what I want you to say. So even though I had anxiety and I had like, God, who am I to do this? And it was like, you're going to say what I want you to say.
Yeah.
So I pray that whatever happens, the word of God comes through this.
Oh, it will. It has been. And I really do believe that it's been providing, even if it's just seeds or even if it's just nuggets, it's been providing something for someone.
Yes.
Fall back every week, so they're obviously or hopefully, prayerfully, getting something out of the phone calls that we're doing. And
yes,
you said that you're still inside of the healing process. Can you tell us how the healing has begun to change your life? Like, I know that last year you went through, like, God showing you your work and God just showing you, because he'll take us through different things as we heal, and he'll show us who we are on the other side of who we thought we were when we were broken.
In my process, once I finally got to a place where God was basically waiting outside the door for me, was like, okay, you done now? And I started getting into the Bible. The more I kept getting into the Word, he started lining people and things up for me in ways that I can't explain.
Yeah.
I remember reaching out to certain people like this, I'm struggling and I need help. And I had people who were not willing to allow me to sit in it anymore. You've been in it long enough, AZ. It's time to let it go. It's time to give it to God. So one of the major things that happened was the people around me that were really and truly for me stood by me. And when I mean stood by me, I don't mean rub my back and let me cry. It was like, no, you're not going to stay in a pity party place. You're not going to stay in the world and do all these things that you know you shouldn't be. You're going to work on you. And then I had people encouraging me, telling me exactly who I was and what I was. A major step for me was I have a longtime friend that I've known, and she speaks with power. And so I followed her one day when she was speaking in Atlanta, and both times I went to Atlanta to see her, I got a direct message from God. The first time I went to visit her to see her speak, I got a message about the seed, like God, the size of a mustard seed, and planting that mustard seed. And the next time I went to see her speak, the message came to me that you are not that thing. You are not that path. You are not what they say you are. You are not what was done to you. So that began my process, because for me, it was in my head. Because in my head, I wasn't any good anymore. Love had, like I said, a different meaning for me. Love wasn't good. So God had to work on me and show me, Azy, I created you. I formed you. You're made in my image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And she definitely says affirmations all the time. So I got more consistent with my affirmations in my healing process. People began to, like I said, God put more people around me. Another huge part of my healing process was I met someone and they invited me to church. So I went to their church. Well, at their church, there was also small groups. And there was a small group going on about healing. And I decided to do this group. And I even remember going to the church and just the sense of worship there. But I remember even when we went to the individual, the host's house, it just felt so warming. Like I could just feel the warmth and love in that place, which for me was hard because love didn't have a good meaning. So God dwelt on me to show me exactly what love was. Love was grace. Love was mercy. Love was saying that good happened, bad happened, but I still got you. Love was letting you know that I don't care how far you think you're getting away from me, I'm going to be right here waiting on you. And I don't care how capable and how much you put into other people, and I don't care how much they fail you, I won't fail you because I love you. And he kept digging in on me. And in that small group, it was like stuff just started to come up. Realized that my hurt and my pain dealt more than just with the relationship ending. It took me back to dealing with issues from when my mother passed and how even then I had issues with God. How when my father left when I was very young and dealing with that, you know, being a girl who can vividly remember, you know, wanting things from her father, her earthly father, even when my grandfather passed. So it took me back to see that even what I was going through now was accumulation of a lot of pain that I never dealt with. Mm-hmm. So healing began with reviewing all of it, and it brought all of it to my forefront. And because I was in a place with Christian people who believed in the word of God, who believed in the word of prayer, who believed in the word of speaking things to one another and each other and support, my healing just, it just started. It started because I was in an environment where people were willing to help me move on and not let me stay stagnant and just look for sympathy in it. So that was a major aspect of that. I mean, just completely a major aspect of it.
And there's such a huge stereotype around people seeking help when they're in a desolate place. But what I want, you know, someone, I guess I feel like needs to hear this, you to know is if you need help, there are counselors, there are advisors, there are women's groups, there are men's groups even that will help you get to the root of what it is that is broken inside of you.
And
painful process, but it'll help dig up all of that dirt in the past and help you finally get it out and get free from it and get to a place where God can love you. People don't understand a lot of times that God is love. All of the outside love that we're seeking, it's like null and void. Until we have the love of God like resting in our hearts and we know that he loves us, we can't be whole.
Well, and that is so true. So true. Another major aspect of that, too, is once God has loved on you, you begin to love you, too.
Yes.
You begin to find your value and your worth, but you truly begin to love you, too. And you can say, I've been through this, I've been through that. And even when the thoughts and the memories of it come up, you can say, God, you love me enough to give me grace, and I love me enough to know that I'm not that thing. You have to learn not only have the love that God gave you, but love for yourself. Because you can't give anybody else love if you don't have love for yourself. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is to even give. So that process of it, like, help. I'm so thankful. I am so grateful that God gave me even the ability to notice when help was being offered to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't something that, like, I brushed off. It came three times, and I remember it. And it was like, I need to do this. This is how you're going to start. And it just trickled and kept going ever since.
Wow.
It has been one thing after another, and stuff just starts falling off. Because you realize when you love you, I'll say it this way, because I've been guilty of it. When you put all of what you feel about yourself into the hands of somebody else and other people, when that crumbles, you are completely lost.
Yes.
Because you don't know anything. And that also gives the power of it to the other individual.
Yes.
So when you take back that power,
back your power.
When you take back your power, because God gave us power. God didn't call us to be in manner where we didn't have power. But when
yes.
you take back your power and know who you are and whose you are, honey, there is nothing that can stop you. Not saying that it has not been hard, and not saying that it won't be hard in the future, but when you take back your power and you see yourself the way God sees you, the way God has designed you to be, it's
yes.
a totally different world. It is
yep.
a totally different world.
Like your eyes are open.
And your eyes are open.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. Like I was saying on one of the other calls, God was telling me, no, you're not going to be afraid. Last week he gave me so clear, stop looking for someone else to affirm who you are. You are because I am.
And
I wrote it down, and I think I actually posted it on social media. But think about that. We have to stop looking for everyone else, for the world, for somebody else to affirm. We can do affirmations ourselves. And my pastor at church the other day, she was talking about affirmations, and she broke down what it meant. And she said an affirmation means to confirm what is true. And she said, so when you're looking at the word of God, you have to affirm yourself, even if it feels uncomfortable. And that you are graced for what is on the inside of you. And so when we're speaking affirmations, we're actually being prophetic. And so we have to prophesy to ourselves what God has already called us to be.
Yes, you are speaking
so you
things
are
as they are. Yes.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Like that is who you were designed to be. And I love it.
You definitely have to begin to speak things as they are. When I was hurt, it was so hard to look in that mirror and say, I am healed.
Yes.
When I felt discomfort, I looked in that mirror and said, I'm at peace.
Yes.
And I'm going to admit it because, I mean, this is just how it is. I hated. I had hate in me. And I had to look in the mirror and say, God, I'm love.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I was at that point, but call out what it is. And a hard part of it is
mm-hmm.
I got to a place where just saying it wasn't working. I had to be in a mirror, and I had to look myself in the face, and I had to say it because
mm-hmm.
I had to basically tell it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that I can't do is I can't, because even on this call, I can't tell you anything about how to stack $1 million. Because I hadn't stacked $1 million, not yet. But I can tell you, that even when you feel like the floor fell from under your feet, I can tell you that if you trust God and if you believe in the Word of God and you believe that He loves you and that you are worthy and you are valuable, you are a pearl. Look yourself in the mirror and tell those things. That's because I've had to do it myself.
Okay.
And one of the other things that I feel like I need to say, and I don't even know why, because this hit me last week, and I kept saying, God, I don't want to say this. But I'm going to say it. Part of it also is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness, because, I mean, I had to forgive what happened there in that relationship, but I had to forgive myself for how I even felt about God.
Yeah.
I begged God for forgiveness because I didn't understand. And I was in my emotions. And like I said, when you're caught up in your emotions, that's just where you are. I had to forgive because when my mother died even, I did not like God because how could you take her? Like, I'm sure there's some other people in this world not doing good, but you take her?
Yeah.
And even other people who say, well, I was helping, but at the same time, that help was a knife in the back. That you got to forgive them, but, honey, you got to love them. God had me calling out people's names and saying, I love them. And I remembered it shortly after I was watching something with Ayanna Vincent, she was saying it. I love them. I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. And to this day, you get to the point where even in when you're saying you love them, you can pray for them from a place of peace in your heart. Because
mm-hmm.
that's how it had to be with me. My prayer life, a whole nother level in my healing process.
And you know what? That's an indication, too, that you are moving in the right direction is when you can wholeheartedly pray for the person who hurt you. When you can lift the person who hurt you and who aided in your broken process, because most times it was you that was, you know, it's your fault that you were broken, not necessarily the fault of any one person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can wholeheartedly pray for that person and mean it, God bless them.
Mean it.
Help them.
God, be to forgiveness.
Who you want them to be, not who I want them to
be. Exactly. Because that's where we get lost, because, God, you fix them. And it was so even to the point where vengeance is never. No, never. Like, I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same point, there's a second part to forgiveness. You have to forgive the people that you hurt when you
yes.
were in your emotions.
Yes.
Because when you were caught up in what was happening, what had happened to you, you're now out here in the world and you're hurting other people because you hurt. I remember I had to apologize to somebody, and that was the hardest thing for me to do. And what was even harder was to feel like my apology was rejected when I was truly in a place of coming because I wanted to just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to also understand, just like I was hurt, they were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So forgiveness is not just for the person who hurt you. It's not just for yourself, but it's also for the people you may have hurt while you were down there.
That's
while
true.
You were down in that mess, you now have the responsibility to go fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we get to the point where, God, they didn't come to me and forgive and say they're sorry. You didn't give me that genuine, why I got to go apologize to this person. That's not how God works. God gives grace sufficient for each day. So if every day that you have the ability to make right some of your wrongs, you make it right. Because
Amen.
That's what God does.
Amen.
That's how God is.
That's
so
true.
When I started having to do those types of things, so much stuff happened in my life, Sherry. Oh, my God. But my trip to Israel, I can't even explain to you the blessing that came from being in Israel for 2 weeks. And not even just that, but God had lined up some financial blessings for that trip that I can't put into words.
Tell them
because
how much the trip was. Tell them how much the trip was.
The trip
it was a couple thousand dollars.
The trip was about $3,500, yes.
And she was in a place where she could not pay it. But
I
she trusted
could not
God.
Pay it. I could not pay it. I could not pay it. And it was weird because I remember driving to work one day and I said, God, the deadline is coming up and I don't have anything. I said, so if you said this trip can't happen, I'm okay with it. But if you say this trip is supposed to happen, I need a sign from you.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work, and within an hour and a half, I got a phone call from the church about the trip.
Wow.
And I said, okay. I scraped up to get that deposit. And when I say God lined up people to make donations, people who I hadn't even met, but they had heard through other people I was going.
Wow.
They were sending money to help me on this trip.
Wow.
And it was hard at first because, and this is something I'm still working through when we talk about love of God. It was hard because, you know, you're still very cautious of people because you're hurt, but you're open because you're like, God, you're doing this, you're doing this. But you're still you're like very careful with the steps you're taking around people because, you know, you're like, okay, I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any way to pay this back. And I was like, no, this is our seed.
When you know
the seed.
Except when God gives us, because he will, he'll give us favor.
Yes.
And we won't understand why somebody is doing something for us that's genuinely nice. And it's
yes.
like, God, you know I don't have extra money to pay these persons or people back.
None.
But just accept it. Just accept it as my love. And God's
yes.
love is so powerful. Just like that. He'll show you who he is in all things. In all things.
All things. Girl, that's my scripture. Ephesians 4:6. All
yes.
God of all. Father of all. Like, that is my scripture. You know that's me. One God, one Father of all.
Yeah.
But God blessed me to go on that trip. And it was, I can't even talk about it because I take up the rest of the call. But mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And it was weird. The one thing I will say about it was I was nervous because I was the only person. I didn't know anybody going on the trip, and it was almost like 90-something people going. But I had never felt such welcoming before.
Mm-hmm.
It was like these people knew me. They treated me just like they knew me. 90-something people, I think, was on this trip. And, I mean, I was just, like, welcomed with open arms. It was like I was at the family reunion, like a cookout. You know, we just, hey. I mean, the trip was wonderful. God showed up on the trip. I got blessed in ways I can't describe. And when I came back, I finished the process of going through the class, and God just kept working on me. God just kept dealing with me. God, I mean, he just kept putting more and more things in my life, more and more things.
The church could have opened up, you know, just the healing opportunity. You just never know how God works in the details of what he's doing in the background. And I have another question to ask you. If you had to do all of it over again, just the bad relationship, you know, just growing up how you did as a child, like without your father being there, your mother passing away when you were at such a young age.
Yeah, I was a senior in college when my mom got diagnosed with cancer my first semester of my freshman year, and she died my last semester of college.
Would you do it all over again to get to God?
Sherry, that is a question that I wish that I had. And the only reason is because part of it feels like my past has already had too much of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a, you know, bad type of way.
Oh, that's
but
good.
I understand at the same time the good and the bad had to happen to get me to be where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do it all again. And,
yeah.
you know, we will always say if we could go back, we might change a little of this or a little of that. So I don't have, like, a flat answer for that. But I do believe that I've given the past enough of my time and attention. And right now my focus is on so much of my future, so much of what God has for me, because I truly believe that nothing but goodness is coming my way. If I got to fight this hard and go through all that in my past, if it was that much in my past, then something the devil don't want me to have in my future, but I'm about to put him to shame.
Amen. And you will give beauty for ashes. That's God's
girl, and God will get all the glory.
All the glory. All the glory. Now, do you want to tell everyone on the call about your platform that you created on Facebook called An Anchored Heart? And a bit about how God, I guess, chased you with anchors and how it relates to the scriptures that he showed you and how you're supposed to now help other people through your Anchored Heart ministry.
I've always loved anchors. It was just something about anchors I've always been drawn to. And this may sound weird, but when I look at an anchor, I see the cross, and then I see a boat. I see the barrel or whatever you call it, the bottom of the boat. So I've always been attracted to them. And one of the reasons is because when I think about that boat, I think about when we're in the storm. We're in the storm. I mean, you know where I'm going to take it. But we're in the storm. We're in the boat. We're in the storm. And unless you drop that anchor, you're just going to continue to get tossed. Now, we might get tossed a little bit, but it won't be as bad if we didn't put that anchor down. And that anchor is not only love in God, but that anchor is knowing who God is. He's not just your Savior. He's your provider. He's your protector. He is your way maker. He is your supplier for all the things that you need. The thing that I want to say is that when I feel like I drop my anchor, I'm not only saying I believe in God, but I'm also saying I trust God.
Yeah.
So believing and trusting are two separate things when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So when you have that anchor, you know inside that God loves you unconditionally, and he got you covered. But he just wants you to come to him, and he wants you to be open to him and realize that all that stuff that's swirling around you, this going on over here, that over there, people talking about you here, people doing this here, this falling apart, the money ain't right, he is telling you that. Stop focusing on the storm around you.
Yeah.
Focus on me. Drop this anchor. Put your trust, your faith, put absolutely everything you got in me. So when I've always fallen in love with anchors. I went to a conference in Colombia not too long ago, and at the end of the conference, I just kept hearing anchored healing, healings of anchors. And I kept hearing it and hearing it, and I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, hold up. What in the world? And I remember I wrote it down, and I was there with some lovely ladies. Oh, my gosh. God showed up there, too. And when I came home, I remember waking up the next morning, and I just kept hearing anchored, anchored, anchored. And I went to church, and while I was sitting at church, I just heard an anchored heart, an anchored heart. And I just sat there, and I wrote it down. And when I got home, it was like God was saying, your work, like, I felt like that's my process. I had to anchor my heart in God to the point where things around me, people coming at me, were just like null and void to my view. And God was all I saw. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because it's like you all were talking about, you know, when the trick of the enemy comes at you and, you know, he want to sing you what you know. Well, God, I prayed for this, but something about it just ain't right. No, thank you. Because I developed a new mindset. When I put my anchor down, this is me. This is who I am right now. You know that about me, but you don't know this part about me. And if this right here is not, then we can be friends from a distance, male and female. Because it's like some relationships you got to let go. Some standards have to be put in place and you have to stand on, because I'm believing that the storm going around me will not stop where I am, and God will continue to hold me down. He holds me with his love. He holds me with his goodness. He holds me with his grace and his mercy.
Yes, he does. And so the page that you created, who do you feel that it's for?
it's a group. I created a group. It's called An Anchored Heart. And so you can send a request if you want it. I've just been putting motivational stuff out there, and it's funny because it's like I wake up and whatever's in my head, and it's like, put this out, put this up. So for whoever it's for, I think the group is for anybody who feels like they're at a point where hurt has become normal, and God doesn't want you to believe that that's normal anymore. You have been in the place where you see lacking, you see pain, you see suffering, you see insecurities, you see that there's no trust. God wants you to know that that's not the life that he has for you. So an anchored heart is basically set up for just, and you can, I mean, if there's questions people have, please ask questions. You know, I might not know, but maybe somebody else does. But it's set up to let individuals know that you're not the only one who has been in some situations that you can't explain.
Amen.
Some we have caused on ourselves, some we haven't. Some were a combination of both. But the webpage is for anybody who has been in a place where they feel like the pain or what they've gone through, they just don't want to be there anymore. Even when you know in your head, I got to get out of this. This is not the right place for me. You know you shouldn't be there. The anchored heart is still for you, too.
Amen. Good. And it's needed. It's needed. There are so many broken women, or even men for that instance. Like, just the people that I've came across in my lifetime. And because I was broken, I was attracting broken people. And so even men are broken, and they don't know the steps that they need to take in order to heal themselves. And so any type of outlet that can be created in order to help anyone get to a better place and out of the place that they're in, I, you know, advise everyone to go there, to her page, to go to LaToya's page and or Candy's page or Tanya's page. I mean, they're all women of God with similar purposes, and I just feel that God is going to shift them into the platform that they're supposed to be in.
One of the things I'll say, Sherry, and I don't mean to cut you off, is I think that we have to understand, too, that I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to do this. God did this.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing. This is for God's glory.
God makes us be the person that we needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But God gets the glory. God gets all the glory. I never thought that I and the time you go through it, you're like, I just want to get out of it. But you don't even realize that when you're going through it, you're learning because you've got to tell somebody else something.
Yes, and it's a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen.
Yes. So the page was created for that, as you know, with all the women, as you said. It's a point where you want to give what you've experienced, and you want to share it on the level that God has designed for it to be shared. But God gets all the credit. I completely give God all the credit for it. I give God all the credit.
Hello. I love it. I love it. I love it. And, you know, we start by influencing people where we are, and, you know, it's just victory because we're doing something that God has ordained for us to do and not something that, you know, we conjured up ourselves or tried to make happen, because even if you do, he'll stop you right in the midst of it. So,
oh well, you know that's where we have to take time, spend time with God. During my process, I remember there was a time where when I was coming out of what I was going in, I got quiet with God. I got alone with God, which means I didn't deal with anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody about what was happening in my life. I didn't want to talk to anybody what had happened in my life. I shut down to where it was just me and God. Like, I didn't need anything else. Because if God was doing this in me and he was saying, I'm going to heal you, then at this moment in my vulnerable state, all I needed was him.
Mm-hmm.
So I shut down enough. And I'm grateful that I was obedient enough to know to do that. And I know it's because of prayers from my mother and grandmother and people in my group that God gave me the strength to know that you can't replace what you need from outside things and people.
That's
you got to get quiet and seek me. And I'm telling you, it's just something about shutting it down, being alone with God. It was like a four-month period where, girl, it was like, no, God. I mean, from what I started reading, I paid attention to what I was reading. I paid attention to who I was listening to because I did not want to hear anybody else tell me something that sounded good. I needed to hear from people who've been in the fire tell me how you got out because that's what I needed. I started paying attention to that. Oh, my gosh, Sarah Jakes, Priscilla Shirer, even when she wrote the book Fervent Prayer. I mean, I stayed in that stuff. I listened to the music. I was being careful of what I watched on TV. So I took a 4 or 5 month time period, and I did nothing but feed on God. And I know that in part that helped me to deal with and be more who I am now.
Mm-hmm. And that's needed. That is needed. Like, people who are listening, ladies, men, being still is the perfect place for God to speak to you. You know, we try to keep ourselves busy when we're hurting or when we're in pain because we want to not feel the pain. But the moment that you sit still long enough for God to talk to you,
yes,
to do for you, to tell you how he wants to heal your brokenness, to tell you what he wants your next move to be. And that sometimes only comes from stillness. You can run around trying to heal yourself, trying to run out here in the world, figuring out how to get from point A to point B, but stillness, I'm trying to tell you, changed my life.
Girl, one of the podcasts I listen to in the morning, she speaks on it, and we just finished up this month about being quiet with God. I listen to Deidre Truheart all the time, but she even says it. And even in those moments where you're quiet and you still, doesn't mean that nothing's happening. I remember hearing her say that a lot. Even when you're quiet and it's still, don't stop reading. Don't stop doing whatever. Do that last thing God told you to do until he tells you to do something else. But even when it's still and it's quiet, doesn't mean God isn't moving somewhere else.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Well, AZ, are there any, like, final words or just words of advice? You know, I ask it at the end of every call. Give us 3 words of advice that you would give to someone who was in a broken place like you were.
I think what I want to do, and I got this from my friend. This is not my idea. This is something I'm stealing from somebody. I want to say something to them. I went to a convention. Her name is Regina Sunshine Robinson. I love her. But she speaks to you. And so this is something that she spoke at one of the events I went through where we were to face women and talk to each other. So I'm going to tell you what she had us tell the women around us. So for the women who are hurting, the women who don't know where to begin, I'm going to tell you what she had told us. And it's something I still say to myself. So this is me speaking to you. God loves you the way you are. You are beautiful because you are created in love. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have seeds of greatness within you. You are born to live a victorious life. You are brilliant. You are gorgeous, talented, and yes, fabulous. You are worthy, and you are loved. So that's what I want to say for somebody who feels hurt. That's what you are.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I love it. Oh, I love it. But speaking life. Thank you for speaking life.
Yes.
Thank you for letting God use your life today?
Yes. It's God. It's so God.
Thank you for being just a voice in this hour, because somebody needed to hear that.
It's God.
Mm-hmm.
I give everything to Him.
Yes.
Everything that I have, everything that I don't have, and even what I think I lack, I don't lack. If that,
mm-hmm.
if I don't have it, it's because God's deemed you don't need that.
Yeah,
if something else is coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's an intent for you to have it.
And yes.
And you guys, we have to learn to let our grasp go. That just hit me so strong. I don't know who that's for. You have to learn to stop trying to hold on to people and places so tight. And
yes.
if God is telling you to let it go, then please let it go. Let it go. I promise you He has you.
He will move you. He will move you. He will give you good and perfect gifts. And
yes.
one thing that you will have is when you get your gift from God, you won't have to worry about the problems and the issues that come with His gift. The issues and the problems come when we pick, oh, I want that, so I'm going to get that for myself. But when God gives you His good and perfect gift, it's meant for you. So let it go. Let it go. And I'm telling you that. And I know it's not going to be easy, but it will be worth it.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, we are going to begin to wrap up the call, and I just want to thank you for being a part of the show.
Thanks for having me.
Obedience to God for letting Him push you to being on the show.
Yes.
And thank you for honoring God for being on the show, because I was like, you want me to ask her what? No.
Yeah, girl.
I
don't even want to talk about that day again.
And I was like, I'm going to do just that. I'm going to tell her, and then I don't want to hear nothing she got to say about it. So thank you for being
here. That's how God works.
So we are going to close out the call. Let me see if I had anything else. I don't think I have anything else. Oh, I did. I wanted to say just a verse that I read in the Bible the other night. And it's Galatians 5:13. And let me see what it reads exactly. I don't want to lie to you because I probably took notes. But hold on. Let me grab it real quick. Because it was so good. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to say that on the call. And it's a good way to end the note of the call. Here it comes. Okay. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, meaning chasing after the worldly things. Rather, serve one another humbly and in love. And I thought that was so beautiful. And just remember that. Just remember that we are called to be free. And when you're sitting in a place of brokenness, it's bondage. And until
yes.
you get out of the bondage, you can't be free.
Yes.
So live under God's rules, under His Spirit, under, you know, the things that He calls us to do. And
yes.
I'm going to check real quick for any calls. I don't know if anyone heard me at the beginning, but you have to log in online to the Blog Talk Radio GRB with Sherry in order to take calls, and I don't see anyone out here right now. I opened up the chat room so I could answer or ask any questions or unmute anyone who had questions, but I don't see where anyone logged in online.
And if you ask to join the group, like I said, please ask questions. And for the questions that may not be in my area, there's someone in the group who may have the answer or may be able to help you. So, you know, even if, you know, if you're led and you feel like you want to join the group, because trust me, this is not my doing, completely of God. But, you know, the group is definitely another area for women to share and encourage each other. This is definitely one of those groups that I feel God has designed it for. So those questions can come there too.
Amen. And again, the name of the group is An Anchored Heart. You can do
mm-hmm.
it for the group. It's Follow AZ. She's on Facebook under AZ Hudson.
Yes.
right now? Okay. So you can follow her on Facebook under AV Hudson. Well, AV, thank you for being on the call.
Thank you.
We're going to close the call out with prayer. And I'm going to ask you to say the prayer because you are my prayer warrior. That's why I'm putting you on the spot. But I love
okay. Hello, God. It is us again. Okay. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and share with open heart, open minds, and freely, God. We come, God, as your women who were designed and created and handcrafted by your magnificent hands. So any lie, God, for any woman on this call or male who may believe a lie that the enemy has put in them, I ask you, God, to send it back null and void. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to instill inside their minds, their hearts, and every inch of their being, God, let them know just who you created them to be and the glorious life that you have set for them. So, God, I ask that you rain down blessings from heaven, Heavenly Father, because you are more than a God who sits high and looks low. You reach down low, God, and you pull us out of pits that we may have even dug for ourselves, but that's because you love us. I pray, God, that as these women leave this call, and that everyone begins another new day and another new journey in you, that they are refreshed, renewed, and strengthened amongst all things, God. They know who they are. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was good. Thank you.
Amen. God gives glory.
Amen. God gives glory.
Oh, that was so on the spot, but okay.
Yes, it was. Thank you, my love. You know you can pray on demand. You know how we do.
Girl.
I need you to pray for me. Boom. There it is.
Honey, there are days where it's one word prayer.
Honey, yes. Thanks to Jesus, three words. But okay, my love, thank you again, and I will be talking to you soon.
Yes, ma'am. Everyone listening, be blessed and know who you are. God loves you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you guys for calling in. Have a blessed night.